Baseball, another inning of the national pastime. That's our focus this week on Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie.
Let me hear you. A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ballgame. Take me out to the top. Find me something up.
Chicago's wind. Maybe Jack called in a favor, and Harry put the good word in.
Gone. National League. Well, this is the year and the Cubs are real. So come on down to Wrigley Field. We're singing now,
go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. Go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
Baseball time is here.
Dobie's Boogie. in a 1949 recording by the Freddie Mitchell Orchestra, honoring the first African-American player in the modern-day American League, Larry Doby. Before that, and yes, I do confess to being a Chicago Cubs fan, even though I'm wearing a Montreal Expos cap as I record this, Go Cubs Go by Steve Goodman, who, contrary to urban legend, is not buried underneath Wrigley Field, at least according to the Cubs front office. Finally Next Year by the Ides of March, and one of the thousands of times Cubs broadcaster Harry Carey led a Wrigley Field congregation in singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I'm King David McKenzie, and this is Echoes of a Century. Before Larry Doby and Jackie Robinson broke the color lines of Major League Baseball, African-American players were limited to playing in the Negro Leagues of baseball. They were pretty much limited to the eastern United States. The only regular teams west of the Mississippi River were the Kansas City Monarchs and the Black Senators of Austin, Texas. Their games were rarely, if ever, broadcast on the radio, and only promotional footage of the Indianapolis Clowns appears to have survived on film. But if there ever were an enterprise to which the term legendary truly applies, it's the Negro Leagues. Many of them are told at the official Negro League website, NegroLeagueBaseball.com, all one word, and a couple of legendary players figure prominently in the next couple of artifacts.
588-6295. There are no strings attached to this. Just call that number. Tell them you'd like to go to the dinner, 7 o'clock next Wednesday. The philosophy of baseball's immortal Negro star, Leroy Page, better known as Satchel Page. I don't feel conscience-smitten at reading his lines again, because I have read them dozens of times to myself, and I chuckle every time at this delightfully philosophical wit of Satchel Paige. Incidentally, he admits he's 50 years old, which means he was born about 20 years before he was born. So he worked up to zero and then started up to 50. He must be 65, wouldn't you say? And still he plays, doesn't he? Well, this he really said. This is quoted from him. He says, "Avoid fried meats which angry up the blood." I love that phrase. You couldn't make it more delightful. Avoid fried meats that angry up the blood. Next, if your stomach disputes, you pacify it with cool thoughts. Isn't that great? Keep the juices flowing by jangling about gently when you move. Keep the juices flowing by jangling about gently when you move.
That was WBBM Chicago broadcaster Paul Gibson promoting a 1961 personal appearance of the greatest pitcher the Negro Leagues ever had, Leroy Satchel Paige. By the way, NegroLeagueBaseball.com says Paige was born on the 7th of July, 1906, meaning he was 55, give or take a few months, at the time of the broadcast. On the 15th of May, 1949, when Chicago radio station WMAQ broadcast the following dramatized biography of Paige on its Destination Freedom series, Paige was a pitcher and teammate of center fielder Larry Doby on the Cleveland Indians. 2 years earlier, Paige had become the oldest rookie in the major league's history when Cleveland signed him on his 42nd birthday. And his most storied rival in the batter's box, Josh Gibson, had passed away only 7 months before that. The story of Gibson's facing down Paige's pitches is a highlight of this show.
Destination Freedom. Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic heritage of the Negro people, is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. When the story of America's national sport is written, there has got to be in it one chapter from the fabulous career of the world champion Cleveland Indians pitching ace, Satchel Paige. Today, Destination Freedom will play that chapter entitled The Ballad of Satchel Paige.
Nobody knows when he first played on a baseball field. Some say he put out Caesar when old Julius tried to steal. Some say he learned about curves watching Antony's Cleopatra. But it ain't no truth in the story that Methuselah was his catcher. Oh, Satchel, oh, Satchel Paige. Nobody dared to bother about his age. 'Cause he was the best pitcher that the good Lord ever made.
Case history of the legend starts this way. Mobile, a kid named Leroy Paige, roamed like a tumbleweed through the streets, pitched bricks or tin cans on back fences when he played hooky from Oakdale High back near the bay. Struck out scrawny kids in sandlot ball games, built a pitching arm and played against pro players who strayed down to the rough south side of town and sent them scurrying off with wild tales of a kid who had a baseball trained like a hawk. It could tear the heart out of home plate. Stood 6'3" in his stocking feet. Could bend back like bamboo. Could dust ash off a smoker cigar with a brick at 60 feet. And when he was 16 summers old, he heard about a baseball team in Chattanooga that was open to Negro ball players. And one hot day, he pointed his long, lean, size 14s toward Tennessee. And he went a-treading over Lookout Mountain, down toward the ballpark in the valley. Tales went a-spreading ahead of him.
Over Lookout Mountain, his feet were a-treading. And ahead of his feet, the tales started spreading about a pitching man over 6 foot tall who had learned how to throw the atomic ball. To Chattanooga town went Satchel the dangling. To Lookout Park was where he was the angling. Now the baseball boss, whose name was Bailey, had heard their tales and he argued daily with his coach Sam that they were not true. But the coach just grinned. There was something he knew. And he turned to Boss Bailey, about to say something sage, when over the mountain trod Big Satchel Paige.
They say that's the way he come down on that Chattanooga ballpark. He walked on the field, walked around the field, walked across the field and stopped in front of Boss Bailey.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bailey.
Who's this scarecrow?
Oh, well, he comes from a little scrub team in Alabama. His name's Paige. He pitches.
These hicks have more fairer stories about ball players than the law allows. Don't know baseball from a sweet potato. Hey, you.
Paige is the name. Leroy Paige.
And what might be your profession?
I'm a pitcher, like you said.
I need a pitcher, but you ain't the one.
I like to catch and bat.
The only catcher bat I'd ever hired would be Josh Gibson. You Josh Gibson?
No, sir.
Well, who recommended you anyhow?
Oh, folks around home, mostly. I got the surprising kind of pitching, they say. They
look,
said...
Look, kid. Look, professional baseball ain't no game for you. I know you grew up reading about Casey at the bat instead of your rightful nursery rhymes. Right now, you ain't even a decent juvenile delinquent. Now, blow.
I'd sure like to help your team.
Best way is to get a job on our rivals' team. Now, beat it.
Just a minute, Mr. Bailey.
Yeah?
Well, I own a part of the stock in this team, too.
What are you getting at?
Well, they say this kid here can pitch.
You say that to say what?
I bet you my share of the team's stock against yours. He'll do all right in a tryout.
A whole soft-hearted, soft-headed coach. If you take stock in tall tales, I shouldn't mind taking over your stock in the team. All right, Sage or Cage or whatever they call you. Grab a glove, go to the bullpen and warm up.
Don't need no warming, mister. I stay hot.
Oh, don't even know the physiology of the game. Well, see if you can find your way out on the mound.
All right, sir. I'll do my best.
Hey, coach, tell all the players to knock off and stand round up. Going to see that this hick gets his fill of baseball. Get me Hank.
Sure, sure, Chief. Hey, Hank. Hey, home run, Hank. The boss wants you.
What's pitching, boss?
That screwball on the mound there wants to give somebody batting practice. Oblige him, will you?
I'll shoot line drives straight at his head, boss.
No, you just play with him somewhat. Give the team a little relaxation.
Sure, boss. I know just what he needs.
Yeah, that hick needs a pitching good fit. Give it to him.
Go give that hick a pitching good fit was that old boss man's cry. Knock that pitcher out of his box and I'll laugh until I die. The coach went down in the dugout and he dug up the team's best catcher. Then just for safety first he measured Satch and got a stretcher. But not young Satch, no, he stood out on the mound with one arm on his hip and the other dangling down near the ground. And the ball players laughed like they had themselves a fit while the catcher put on his guard and grabbed his catcher's mitt.
Hey, come on, pitch up. Quick song.
Come on, pitch up. I'll show you why they call me Home Run Hank.
And Satch bent way back just like a stick of bamboo. Why, he looked like a hairpin or a standing horseshoe. One long foot kicked a hole in the sky. The other held the ground. Then he must have pitched that blazing ball, cause there was a whistling sound.
Hey, what happened? I didn't see that.
The bamboo stick had straightened up, and it stood still and surveyed the damage. They say the bat had been knocked down by the breeze, and the catcher was stone cold from the impact of the ball.
All right. Stop standing around with your jibs loose. Ooh, one of these here sudden Tennessee cyclones just passed us off. Now, help that catcher up on his feet there. Hey, now, kid, pitch. And don't wait for freak windblast to help you.
They helped the stricken batter and give him a gentle shove. Got another catcher, put a pillow in his glove. Then young Satch went right back to the mound. He bent way, way back and brought the ball up from the ground.
Hey, it happened again. The catcher knocked out cold again.
Better knocked out by the breeze.
Yeah, there's a cyclone around here. The weatherman should have warned us.
It wasn't no wind, Mr. Bailey.
Well, then he's got a cannon in his pocket.
He ain't even got a slingshot. This kid, they say, ain't human.
Look, every human's human.
Yeah, but we...
Set up another batter and catcher. We'll try one more time.
They set up the batters like 10 pins in a bowling alley. And he struck them down till the sun went down over Lookout Mountain. And the coach knew he'd won a team and had a player with the power of 22 men who could pitch like he wasn't quite exactly human. The players crowded around the wily old coach and told the catcher to analyze the pitch.
The coach says that me and you's going to work together, Mr. Page.
Yeah, we'll be working with you from now on, Mr. Page.
Just call me Satchel, boys.
Well, what I was seeing is, your catcher, we've got to get to understand each other.
Sure.
A pitcher and a catcher's got to go along like a doctor and a nurse.
Sure.
Got to understand each other's signals.
Yes.
Now, if you don't mind telling me, seeing as I don't want your trade secrets, you understand, just want to know what I'm entitled to know.
Why, sure.
Then tell me, what kinds of ball do you pitch?
What kind?
Like, say, some pitchers got, a curveball,
yeah.
A knuckleball,
yeah.
A jump ball, drop ball, beanball, you see? Now, give me a list of the kind of balls you'll be pitching so I can learn how to signal for them.
Well, I'll tell you about the balls I throw.
Yeah.
One is fast.
Yeah.
The other is faster.
Well, the catcher, he looked up and he heard old Satchel say, "Me maybe someday when I'm old and gray, there'll be other balls that I'll have to master. Now all I need is one that's fast and another one that's faster. He didn't have no curve and he didn't have no drop, just one blazing ball that the batters couldn't stop. Oh, Satchel, yes, oh, Satchel Paige, built to pitch in the atomic age. Lean as a greyhound and as tall as a tree, he was the pitcher of history. Oh, Satchel, Satchel Paige.
They say they put him on that Tennessee team, put a uniform on his back, nailed spikes onto his 14s, and sent him pitching round the Southern Circuit. Umpires in New Orleans, Memphis, Houston, Birmingham, Atlanta, Jackson, Tallahassee, Macon watched his blazing pitches and put out their reports.
Strike three, batter's out!
Strike three, batter's out!
They say he had them all singing the same tune, week in and week out, year in and year out. And they put up a poster that said,
Satchel Paige is pitching here tonight. Batters beware, hitters hide. Batters beware, hitters hide. Batters beware.
And people would come from miles around just to see him pitch. And he moved from team to team till he hit the town of Pittsburgh. And a guy named Gus Greenlee saw the gold dust dripping off his long, willowy right arm and called him in and asked him to sign a mighty odd contract.
You pitch your arm off in that Southern Circuit, never get nowhere. I got a proposition.
Yeah, what's your pitch?
Now, my team, the Pittsburgh Crawfords, lost the best batter in the country, Josh Gibson.
Josh Gibson?
Yeah, gone with the Homestead Grays. Oh. I need you because you pitch like he bats. Now, nobody ever seen you banged out of the box. With the kind of rep you're building up, you'll draw $100,000 a year.
I'd kinda like to meet this guy, Gibson.
Yeah, my advice. When you see him at bat, let some other sucker pitch. Now, you've been winning 49 out of 50 games. That proves you ain't human. But once you meet Josh...
I've never met a batter who couldn't strike out. Sooner or later.
If I have anything to say about it, you'll never meet this one. Play it safe. Let's barnstorm right.
He barnstormed all around the country with Josh Gibson on his mind. He went a mowing down batters like on an assembly line.
He frisked the lineups of 40 teams in 40 days, pitched shutouts, and in one game struck out 23 men, wept because the other four fouled out. Then they say young Satch went into Chicago to play a hot series game. And his manager stopped him in the dugout.
Satch.
Yeah?
The team we're playing's imported a special batter.
Yeah? I hope I don't hurt his feelings by striking him out.
I hope he don't hurt your reputation. That reputation's worth $100,000 a year to me. I can't afford to have it hurt.
Me neither. That's why I strike him out.
That special batter's Josh Gibson.
I've been waiting for him a long time.
They write songs about his hitting like they write songs about your pitching. You stay in the dugout. I'll put in a sub. I can't spoil your record.
What about his?
Yours is worth more.
Look, I never duck no batter. I ain't ducking this one. Let me loosen my arm up on this kind of hitter. I'll learn more.
I ain't letting you pitch this game.
It's either this game or no game.
All right. Go to the slaughter, little lamb.
He walked out on the field, headed toward the mound. Looked up in the bleachers, there was everyone in town. Why, the fans hung off the rafters, and the fans stood on the roof. To see was Paige or Gibson best, see the naked proof. Josh Gibson, he was good, and he swung a heavy bat. And when he hit that ball, oh child, it wasn't no loving pat. Old Satchel, he leaned back to give the folks a show. And then he straightened up and let his lightning go.
Strike one!
Oh, Josh adjusted his cap and he let out a long, long sigh as he watched that well-trained ball go zooming by. Patch wound up again to deliver another blow. Then something happened that hadn't happened before. Josh hit the ball, and you could hear it sing. Shot over the walls, just like it had some wings. Oh, Josh just went and crawled around the park, 'cause they knew they wouldn't find that ball till way, way after dark.
They say the long shutout record of the Satchels stopped, and the manager, who'd never quite believe young Satch was human, called him aside and said,
"You ain't the phenomenon I've been advertising. How you explain it?"
"Well, it just proves that I'm human."
They say the next time he pitched to old Josh Gibson, it was in a park in Chicago. He let three men get on base just to get to Killer Gibson. When he came up to the plate, Satch called out to him,
"Hey, Josh!
Hey, Satch!
I'm striking you out with three straight balls.
Ain't no man that's human can do that to me.
The first one will be fast.
Strike one!
The next one's fast.
Strike two!
This one's faster.
Strike three!
And bedlam broke out in the boxes like measles. The crowd threw so many straw hats out on the field, it took 20 attendants 2 hours to clear them away. 10 cops beat back the congratulators. 2 doctors fixed Satch's hand bones he'd broke through handshaking. And he went traveling on and pitched against the big league batters in all-star games. He caught Hack Wilson in Pasadena, struck him out 6 times straight. In Chicago, he sought out Babe Herman. The Babe never got to first base. Ted Williams swung out like a blind man in Brooklyn. He cut down Lloyd Wehner in Pittsburgh and struck out Joe DiMaggio in San Diego, dueled with Dizzy Dean up and down the West Coast, and took him 11 games out of 12. Picked out a kid named Bob Feller in Iowa, taught him every trick in the trade, and sent him up to the majors. And one pre-war year, Satchel knocked at the gates of the major leagues. But the scout shook a sad head.
If you would have been with the Cubs, the Sox, the Senators, you could have won many a pennant for them. And some of them teams ain't seen no part of a pennant in years. But they still won't take you. People keep pushing against the Jim Crow door. It'll crack wide open one of these days. I hope you'll still be around.
The scouts kept a-coming. The scouts kept a-scouting. Not a single one was doubting. Into the major leagues, old Satch would go. Once they got rid of that guy called Jim Crow.
And he kept traveling the circuit of the Negro League. Played with the Baltimore Black Barons, the Cleveland Brown Bears, Nashville Elite Giants, and the Kansas City Monarchs. Got so good, the touts followed him around the country and gave guarantees that sounded like fables.
The great Saxon Page is pitching inside this park, folks. I'll bet you 4-1 he's a guarantee to strike out the first 3 batters.
First 3?
That's right, that's right.
And he'd look back over his shoulder and see that the first inning was over and the 3 batters had already swung out like rusty gates, and he'd call out,
"Oh, did I say the first 3 batters, folks? Right. 5-1, that's a guarantee to strike out the first 6. The first 6.
And then Satchel sent down the next 3. The touters would hear the umps report. And increase the guarantee.
Did I say the first 6? I'll guarantee he'll strike out the first 9. Guaranteed, folks, a gilt-edged guarantee. Get your tickets right here. Guaranteed to strike out 9 men.
They say he kept traveling, and the guarantees kept growing. One season in Iowa, he struck out so many men, the outfielders were scared they'd be jailed for vagrancy, loitering around the ballparks with nothing to do. He pitched north in the summers, south in the winters, Latin America in the falls. He pitched all season, and his seasons lasted 12 months straight. And one winter season, on a ball field high in the hills of Mexico City, he was practicing some new pitches while his coach speculated.
Yeah, changing your whole style of pitching, huh?
Yeah. Think I'll ease up on the speedball. Throw in curves, drops, and a few foolers.
Yeah?
Curves like this. Oh. Only it won't curve.
Looks all right to me.
Funny, I didn't have no trouble curving it back in the States.
Hey, watch your arm. You've been curving that ball for hours. Maybe it's the air.
I ain't stopping till I get it to curve like a corkscrew.
It was way up on the mountain, up on the mountain high. He couldn't throw a curveball, no matter how hard he tried. Satch woke up one Mexican morning, couldn't lift his arm to scratch his head. His trusty pitching arm seemed just like a piece of lead.
All right, Doc. You've been studying my x-rays all day. Now, what's wrong with my arm?
It is hard to explain.
Can I pitch again?
Never. Here's what has happened. Many American ball players make the same mistake. I'm no baseball expert, but, well...
It's all right, Doc. Pitch it.
Well, apparently, it takes a certain density of air to make a curveball curve. That is, the spin on the curveball sets up a counter-reaction in the air, which sometimes causes it to waver somewhat. Is that it?
Keep on.
Well, then, naturally, when the air is thin, as up in the Mexican mountains, a pitcher can throw his arm off trying to set up air reaction. Nothing will happen, except it can ruin, dislocate the important parts of the body. In yours, an infection has set in. I advise, Senor Page, rest. Plenty of rest.
I can't get up on that mound again?
If you do not want them to bury you under it, stay off it.
Oh, hang up your glove. Forget the itch to pitch. If you don't want to be buried deep in a grave digger's ditch. Oh, Satchel listened, and he sat stone still. But he made up his mind to do the doctor's will. I'll go join the Monarchs down in Kansas City. I'll just be a coach, you know, and boys, that's a pity. For that'll be the end of me. Yes, that'll be the end of me. Of old Satchel, old Satchel Paige.
They say batters come out a-hiding from Houston to Honolulu and had a field day. They say pitchers from Pittsburgh to Panama went in mourning as Satch went coaching for the Monarchs. And for a long time, nobody could make his long, lean fingers touch a ball. Nobody except the boys he visited one day in a hospital ward in San Diego. They'd just come from Okinawa. They'd asked the government to send Satchel Paige round, and he came.
They sent him to the soldiers to bring them good cheer. But when they heard he'd quit the game, they wept full many a tear. One soldier said, Mr. Paige, I've heard of you since I was a child. I wanted to come home and see you make them batters swing wild. Oh, Satchel, oh, Satchel Paige. You was the best earned pitcher that the good Lord ever made. Oh, Satchel, oh, Satchel Paige. Please pitch once more, some soldier said. All right, Sick Satchel, I'll do it, even if it kills me dead. Hey, Satchel Paige.
He went back to the ballpark where the Monarchs were playing, walked out on the field past the coach and the players, and bet his life saving he'd strike out the first nine men. They say the crowd got quiet when he stepped on the mound. One leg shot up and tipped the sky, and the other held firm to the ground. And he must have thrown his blazer ball, 'cause there was that whistling sound. There were curves, sidearms, overhands, underarms.
Strike two!
And there were bat jumpers and leap balls, bloopers and loopers,
drops,
and Dodgers. Page was pitching.
Ooh, we all throw a ball that'll split the heart of a dime. I'll pitch and pitch and pitch, and I ain't gonna stop this time. I'll pitch the balls I'll see for my old age. Said, old Satchel, old Satchel Paige.
They say he wound up like the first day he pointed his 14s toward Tennessee 25 years back. They say the batters and hard hitters went back into hiding. The doctor shook their heads and gave him up for dead. But he kept pitching round his 12-month season. And one evening in Cleveland, Bill Veeck and Lou Boudreau stood by while he threw 50 pitches to a batter.
That's enough. 46 strikes out of a possible 50. If you're ready to sign, that puts you on the Cleveland Indians team.
I've been ready a long, long time.
Yeah, I know. Too bad they can't see Satchel Paige the way I used to see you when I was a kid. Slinging only those two kinds of pitches. Fast one and a faster one. Jim Crow's cheated sports fans out of a fabulous time. You still got enough, more than enough, to show them what they could have seen if they'd stopped segregation in baseball from the start. How about getting into uniform?
True, you may not pitch like you used to at all, but you still got plenty of juice on the ball. Now look here, folks, I'm getting ready to go, 'cause the rest of my story you all just about know. How with Dobie, Gordon, Keltner, and that hustling Lou Boudreau, the Indians won the pennant, and old Satchel steal the show. If you don't believe my stories, the sure enough gospel true, goes to show baseball legend just amen for you. In front of him, fame was always a dangling. It came mighty late for Satchel the gangling. Oh, Satchel, oh, Satchel Paige, the greatest pitcher that my good Lord ever made. Oh, Satchel, oh, Satchel Paige.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of the story of the Cleveland Indians pitcher Satchel Paige. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Homer Heck. The role of Satchel Paige was played by Harris Gaines. The balladeer was Oscar Brown, Jr. Others were Dean Almquist, Harvey Hayes, Ted Liss, Tony Parrish, and Fred Pinkard. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Elwin Owen, Jose Bethencourt, and Lou Kessler. This is Charles Chan inviting you to be with us again next week when Destination Freedom will tell the story of Benjamin Banneker, Negro inventor and surveyor. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
We're organizing a baseball team here at the retired actor's home. And I am the manager.
Now, you're going to be the manager of the retired actor's baseball team?
Yes.
I would like to join the retired actor's baseball team.
Oh, you would?
And I would like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so if I want to play with them, I know them, and I meet them on the street or in the home here, I can say hello to them.
Oh, sure. But you know they give baseball players nowadays very peculiar names.
No, a lot of funny names.
You know, like Sticky names. Fields.
Sticky Fields.
Goofy Dan.
Booby Barber.
Booby Barber.
I know all of them.
Well, let's see. Now, we have on our team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out, the guy's name. That's what I want to find out, the guy's name.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Now, Abby, you going to be the manager of the baseball team?
Yes.
You know the guy's names?
Well, I should.
Well, now you tell me the guy's names on the baseball team.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You ain't saying nothing to me yet. Go ahead and tell me.
I'm telling him.
You ain't said nothing yet. Go ahead and tell me.
Who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
You know the guy's names on the baseball team?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the guy's name.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
Wait,
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's his name.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
That's it. That's his name.
Well, you said that. I ain't asked you nothing.
You did?
You know the guy's name on first base? Sure. Tell me the guy's name on first base.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who is on first, Lou?
What are you asking me
now,
for?
Don't get excited. I'm saying who...
I'm asking you a simple question. Who's on first?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who? I'm asking you, what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no. What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time now.
Don't mix up my...
I'm not mixing up anybody. Now, what's the guy's name on first base?
Now, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking.
Wait a minute. How did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
I mentioned his name?
Yes.
I don't know anybody's name on a team. How could I mention a guy's name?
You did. You just mentioned it.
All right. What's the guy's name on third base?
No, what's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on first.
I didn't even mention a guy's name on third base.
Yes, you did.
All right, then. Who's playing third base?
No, who's on first?
I'm not asking you what's on first.
What's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know. He's third base. Third base. I don't know anybody on a baseball team.
You do. You mention their names.
I do?
Sure.
You got an outfield?
Well, naturally.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Well, go ahead. Tell me.
Tell you what?
Tell the fielder's name.
Why?
Because I want to know. Because.
Oh, he's center field. You know these players as well.
Who's
as
in center field?
No, who's on first?
What's
on
first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Do you know the guy's names on the team?
Look, Louis, you don't seem to understand. See, I have a first baseman.
I ask you, what's the first baseman's name?
No, what's the second baseman's name?
I'm going to stop asking, sir. I ask you, what's the first baseman's name?
What's the second baseman's
name? I don't even get past the first. All right, who's on second?
Who's on first?
What base do you want to talk about?
You talk about anyone you want to talk about.
All right, now who's on first?
That's right.
Okay. All right, you got a first baseman.
Yes.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar.
Every dollar. Who gets it?
He does. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Who's wife?
Yes. Why not, Lou? He's earned it.
Who did?
Yes.
Look, will you pay off the first baseman every month? You get a receipt from the guy?
Sure.
How does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
Well, that's how he signs it.
That's Lou. How who signs it?
Yes.
Well, go ahead, tell me.
That's it.
Who? Look, you go to first baseman.
Yes.
And you say to him, here's your money, sign the receipt. How does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
That's how he signs it.
That's how who signs it?
Yes.
Sure. You gotta get a receipt from the guy, don't you?
What, Lou?
How does the guy at first base sign his name?
Who?
The guy at first. I'm asking you, when you give the guy the money, what's the guy's name that you give the money to?
Now, wait a minute. What signs his own?
Who signs his own?
No, who signs his?
I mean, what's the guy's name on first you give
what
the...
What is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. Left fielder's name, the center field. I don't know if you got a pitcher on that team.
Well, this would be a fine team without a pitcher.
It's a fine team without the pitcher's name.
Tomorrow. I can't change that name.
You don't want to tell me the date?
I'm telling you.
Go ahead. Tell me the pitcher's name.
Tomorrow.
Why not tell me today?
I'm going to
wait
tomorrow.
Then tell me the pitcher's name.
Tomorrow.
All right. What time tomorrow you tell me the pitcher's name?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you see, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. Third base. Third base. You got a catcher?
Certainly you've got a catcher on a baseball team.
Catcher's name?
Today.
Today. Tomorrow's pitching, today's catcher.
Now you've got it.
Now I got it. All I got, we got a couple of days on a team, that's
I
all.
I can't help that, Lou. I don't
You know, I'm a pretty good catcher myself.
And so they tell me.
Yeah, now I get behind the plate and I'm going to do some fancy catching and tomorrow's pitching on my team, right?
Yeah.
Now tomorrow he winds up the ball and I'm behind the plate and a heavy hitter gets up. Now, the heavy hitter gets up and he's ready to hit the ball. And tomorrow's going to throw the ball. I'm the catcher. Now, when tomorrow throws the ball, the guy up bunts the ball. Now, when he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'm going to throw the guy out of first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
That's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Sure. The guy is running to first base, and I want to throw the guy out.
So?
So I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Throw it to who?
Naturally.
And who's got it?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Naturally.
No. You throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
That's
it. Now you're sure,
that's
it. I pick up the ball, so I throw it to naturally.
You don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying! I said I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
You ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally. Same as you!
Same.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You don't. You throw it to who?
Now who's got it? Naturally. That's what I said.
Right.
Whoever it is better get it.
He'll
that's all
get
I said.
Don't worry
you.
About who. Who'll get it?
Yes. He better get it.
All right.
Now I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is grabs the ball so the guy runs a second. Who picks up the ball, throws to what? What throws to, I don't know. I don't know, throws back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Could be.
Another guy gets up, and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn. I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I mean,
one of the many recordings, this time from 1952, of Bud Abbott and Lou Costello trying to figure out who's on first. You didn't think I was going to forget that one, did you? That concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Doll's Shoe Radio Creations, copyright 2005, produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you'll join us again this time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.